There are more than 2,500 Liberians living in Baltimore. Most have family members back home who are among the more than 4,000 West Africans who have died from Ebola. In this report, WYPR's Gwendolyn Glenn visits one Liberian family who has lost numerous relatives to the virus.
Bobby Horgard-Joe and his wife Mabel Kennedy tease each other as they prepare ginger tea in their West Baltimore home. But beneath the smiles, there's a lot of sadness in their hearts. Between the two of them, they've lost nearly 20 family members to Ebola.
My sister went to a funeral with 60 other 7 persons, and they ate some food, and all 67 of them died.
Joe, a 60-year-old education specialist with the Maryland Department of Social Services and a former Baltimore City teacher, came to the United States in 1986. He grew up in Harbel, a large city that's home to one of the world's largest rubber tree plantations. Harbel has been hit hard by the Ebola virus. Joe remembers clearly getting text messages of relatives' deaths after the funeral they attended.
August the 10th, I got a text saying that my sister was there. James is also there, my younger brother. His wife is there. The son is there. The niece is there. And the only person who was surviving was my sister's husband, who, after a few days, succumbed.
So far, 12 of Joe's close family members have died from Ebola, and he worries about the others.
I'm being given the mute treatment. Every time I call, nobody want to pick up the phone or nobody want to really tell me what is happening.
Hospitals throughout Liberia are at capacity with Ebola sufferers. Joe says most who test positive for the disease are quarantined in their homes.
My older sister luckily got put into the hospital, the LY. That's a religious hospital we have in the country. I don't know if she's cured, but she'd still be around.
Joe's wife, a program specialist with the D.C. Superintendent of Education's office, sits in a chair in the dining room looking at pictures of family members on her cell phone. She's lost 6 relatives to Ebola. Kennedy's 23-year-old cousin, a nurse, died first, and last week a 19-year-old cousin and a high school-aged niece died.
Here's the girl. She looks just like me. She reminds me when I was growing up.
She's looking at a picture of her deceased niece's sister, who is still alive. The girl's father was an official with Liberia's health ministry and died from the virus first. The family was quarantined at home, and Kennedy says they were given strong disinfecting spray to use at home, but no medical treatment.
I'm very afraid for my niece, because even they are quarantined in the home, but I wish they could take them to a facility, because it's still possible that they too are at risk, you know. One of my sisters just put on Facebook, "God, when will this end? Please have mercy on my family."
Kennedy, who came to the U.S. in 1987, says her faith keeps her going, as does the support of other family members in the area and her co-workers. When she heard of the first family member's deaths, she says she was not able to go to work, but her co-workers were there for her.
They would call me to check on me. But then it just got to the point, I'm like, this is something that we're going to be getting every day or every week. No one is exempt from it. I expect to hear worse news anytime. So I just made up my mind, you know, I'll just go to work.
Joe, who jokes and laughs a lot, says he's torn up inside. He says he can't turn on the television without hearing about Ebola, and it reminds him of those he lost. Because he's taken the deaths so hard, Joe's work suffered, and he's currently on medical leave and is seeing a counselor.
One day I went, I was just spacing out, and the boss called me and said, "What's going on?" I told her about it. She said, "Oh, no, you gotta go and rest."
Ezek Smith, president of the Maryland Liberian Association, stopped by Joe's house last week. He says there are nearly 7,000 Liberians throughout Maryland, and most have been touched by the Ebola deaths back home. Ezek often hears of deaths before the families hear and passes the news to them.
Nearly every week I do receive information from families who have lost relatives back home. There is a constant fear that this outbreak could hit anyone.
It even has hit Smith. He says a young cousin died not because she had Ebola, but because she had diarrhea, an Ebola symptom. He says she tested negative for Ebola, but her community would not let her return home.
My sister has a shop, so she asked her to go in there, you know, and put in a mattress for her to be there. And a day after, about 300 people converged around the shop that there was an Ebola patient in the community and she had to leave. They called the police, the emergency hospital team. And they took her, they tested her, they said she didn't have Ebola.
But Smith's cousin died anyway from dehydration because her diarrhea went untreated. Smith says so far his six sisters and three brothers are healthy, but he's concerned about his father, who suffers from recurring bouts of typhoid that require hospitalization. Last week, he lost a close friend to another illness because he could not get admitted to a hospital.
A friend of mine who's a lawyer, he died. He came from work and said to his wife, "I don't feel too good." He was apparently having stroke or heart disease, you know. She went to three hospitals, and no hospital accepted him. She took him home, and then he died. And then afterward, they discovered that there was some fluid that went to his brain. So people are dying from sicknesses other than Ebola.
As president of the Liberian Association, Smith reaches out to local Liberian families through the association's website and holds weekly meetings to help them cope with their losses. The group also organized local fundraisers to help supply gloves, hand sanitizer, medical gowns, disinfectants, and other much-needed medical items to Liberia. Sitting on a couch nearby, Joe hangs his head. His pain is evident as he starts to talk about deceased relatives, especially his oldest sister. She moved him from a rural area to the city when he was young so he could go to school. The two sold oranges together at a sidewalk market. To not have a funeral for her saddens him.
For us, closure comes when you see that person being interned. But when you know that the person was not even buried in a grave, they were all burned. It really makes it a little harder.
Joe and his wife say they do not know how many other relatives are sick with the virus. They say many fear acknowledging it will land them in an Ebola camp, which they call death traps. Joe says they'd rather weather the virus at home and pray that they survive. I'm Gwendolyn Glenn reporting for 88.1 WYPR.
You can find more local news online at wypr.org. Click the newsroom link.